Welcome to the hype special for Gilmore Girls Season 6. It's Yay! The hype girls do Gilmore Girls, and oh, we're managing to do it. Guys, it's very exciting. We're all here together. I'm Marima, and I think that was Selena who was yelling.
It was.
And Pam who was maybe snorting in laughter. But we're all back together again, and it's all happening. It's an exciting time. How is everyone doing?
Great.
Very good. We jumped on here very last minute, so it's a very impromptu recording, but I'm so glad that we're still on track because, I mean, December is creeping up on us and we have two seasons
December?
Left,
so. No.
December, it's November. In November. It's out this month.
Oh, shit. I thought it was the beginning of December.
No.
Oh, my God.
That's Fuller House. Wrong reboot.
I thought we were talking about Fuller House. Oh, my God. I've been watching the wrong show.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that what we're recording? Oh,
the Hype Girls do Fuller House.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same ring to
Fuller
it.
Fuller Hype.
We should work that out.
Fuller Hype.
Next time. No, don't suggest it. People might ask us to do it.
Oh, my gosh.
We're already behind on this. Okay, so if this is the first time you've listened or, you know, if you've forgotten because it's been a while, these are our hype specials all about Gilmore Girls. And we are rewatching all of Gilmore Girls before the Netflix revival that airs on November 25th. So that's this month. We have done all 5 seasons before this. And you may have missed it on our feed, but Pam and I recorded a special mini hype Gilmore Girls special, mini something, whatever, you get what I mean, about the trailer because it was so exciting and we had so much to say. Well, I say mini, it ended up being like 45 minutes, but that's fine. And of course, Selena was not allowed on there because she's spoiler free, much like this.
Well,
episode.
At this point, guys, like, no, you know, not to jump ahead, but I'm pretty sure I'm barely spoiler free right now. Like,
I think there are some things you don't know about season 7 yet, because season 7 is the season that people don't really talk about, like they try and forget that it exists.
Most people
as
forget.
I noticed while I was like, I did post something on our Instagram with such a sentiment this week actually, and people were like, there's season 7, what? So yeah, it's the one that we like to forget about. But anyway, we are gonna do this. We're gonna be talking all about season 6, and then we'll get to some of your feedback later on. Then we have our season 7 special. We'll be out at some point before the revival. And then the revival is happening. So it's all very exciting. If you want to get in touch with us and let us know your thoughts on this episode or on season 7 before we record or the revival when we get to that or anything else hype podcast related, you can find us on Twitter at Hypeable Hype. You can also find us on Instagram at Hypeable Hype. There's been some Gilmore Girls stuff happening there. If you want to send us a longer comment, you can write a comment on this post on hypeable.com, or if it's easier, you can always send us an email. We are hype@hypeable.com. And lots of you guys did that, and we will get to your feedback a little later on. But first of all, Selena, season 6, what did you think? really?
I mean, I have heard some rumblings about how season 7, which is coming up, actually isn't so bad because it's just trying to deal with season 6's messes. And I can kind of see where that sentiment is coming from. I think season 6, I mean, overall, I thought it was a good season. I was entertained, but I think there were some threads of story running through there. I mean, the Rory and Lorelai estrangement, the Lorelai and Luke sort of slow burn into whatever is happening now, and April, obviously, which we'll get into. I think there were some things that they did, like really manufactured conflict, that I really did not enjoy. And the sad thing is, like, you know, it feels like they're setting it up for a very specific purpose in season 7, which obviously they don't get to do because they leave. So I think this was supposed to be like the dark season before the happy ending.
It's the Buffy season.
Yeah, season 6 of Buffy. Yeah, I think one of our listeners pointed that out too, actually, that comparison. And it just went from bad to worse, basically. And I didn't particularly enjoy some of that happened. But I will say there's a lot of it that I did like.
Well,
so it's not all bad.
I think that makes sense, though, because I have rewatched the whole series a couple of times since like the first time that I watched it. But I do remember that the first time I watched Gilmore Girls, like when it was still airing. Season 6 was the season in which I didn't like, I don't want to say I dropped off from the show, but I just kind of, Jasper, shh, we're podcasting now.
Jasper loves it.
It's the season that like when I finally, when Netflix finally had like all of Gilmore Girls out for everybody to binge, it's the season where I realized that there had been some episodes I had missed. Like the first time around. Because I think a lot of people started dropping off around season 6. I would say that's fair to say.
So yeah, I would agree. But then again, I think that if you ask a lot of people, they would say that for a lot of people, season 6 would be their favorite. And definitely for me, I think a lot of my favorite Gilmore Girls episodes are in season 6. Even if I didn't like necessarily love the kind of whole arc of the season. We'll get to some of those later. But definitely like when I think of like a lot of my favorite episodes, most of them are either in the early seasons, like season 2, and then a whole bunch are in season 6. Like there are just episodes that I am so familiar with in this season. And like there are episodes that I've only seen once or twice. But then there are episodes I must have seen like 10, 15 times. Because if I'm like, oh, I just want to watch an episode of Gilmore Girls, like those will be the episodes that I'll go to watch.
And I think that
if that makes sense.
I think that makes sense because I think a lot of people like season 6 is more endearing after you've seen it a couple of times and you kind of understand why it exists and why it's there. And I think it was like, it was healthy. Mm-hmm. This will actually kind of, if we want to go from this to the main discussion, it'll work really well. But I think that because Lorelai and Rory were so close, it was healthy for them to have a fallout like this because it wouldn't have been realistic for them to just stay as close as they had been all of their lives until Rory actually started growing up. So
yeah, that's true. All right, well, yeah, let's jump. Oh, you might be able to hear the sounds of New York outside my apartment. let's jump right in there because, Selena, I'm curious what you thought about this because obviously there's the estrangement post Rory and Dean that we get, and we talked about when we had that in what season 4 that you know. They kind of stretch the estrangement for a little bit to where you're like, oh, I really want them to get back together. But this is much longer. Like this separation is much, much longer. Were you expecting that they would do something similar? Or like kind of what did you feel about this move? Because it's like 10 episodes almost that they're not together. It's like almost half the season.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was. Like I think in the light of what Pam said, them having this really prolonged, really extreme estrangement, it was necessary just to symbolize this like breakup of that mother-daughter relationship. But what I will say is that I, in those 10 episodes, and I can only imagine what it was like watching it week to week back in the day, a couple of episodes before they, you know, reunited, I was like, okay, I'm ready. Like, this is now. Like, now I need them to reunite. I'm going to be so ready. And then I think it was maybe around the birthday party or something. And then it didn't happen. And I was like, oh my God, whatever. And by the time they actually did, I thought it was for a really stupid reason. Like, I don't even remember what it was. But I was just like there was no emotion because by that point I was so sick of it. And I felt like it had gone on for so long that I was, and the reunion didn't even hit me as an emotional point. I was just like, whatever, like, I've checked out already. And I feel like, it went on for too long, honestly. And I think also for me, what the estrangement really did was it really showed some sides of Rory that I did not enjoy. Spoiler alert, Rory is not my favorite part of the season. By a long shot. And I think the way that she behaved, because I was super mad at Emily and Richard and stuff, but the way that Rory treated them and the way that she, you know, basically, oh, I'm independent now, I moved away from my mother, and then she moved in with her grandparents and acted like she was super grown up and adult, and the way she was talking to Emily and the way she was acting, I just think it's very realistic, but it wasn't very sympathetic. And I think it brought out some sides of Rory that I really didn't like. So that part of the season, I didn't like very much of it. The things I did like was like Lorelai and her dog, and Lorelai and Luke, and Lorelai and Lane, and you know, things like that. basically Lorelai.
Do you think that they're new sides of Rory though? Because I feel like it just gave us the opportunity to see things that we already knew.
But that's kind of what I meant. Yeah, like her being in that situation allowed Rory, those sides of Rory, to come out more clearly. And I think it's good writing.
It's like the Logan side of Rory.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the little. It's kind of like. I feel like in those episodes, you see almost two alternate realities at the same time. One of like what Lorelai's childhood must have kind of been like,
yeah,
a little more so than we saw even in that flashback. And then second, what Rory would have been like if maybe Lorelai had not moved away,
yes,
or had not separated, yeah, herself, like you suddenly from her grandparents.
You suddenly understand why Lorelai was so intent on leaving. Like, yeah, you suddenly get it because she didn't want Rory to end up like that, basically.
Right. I mean, and, you know, there's like an argument to be made that Rory would not be so extreme like this if she hadn't had kind of none of this, you know, because there's definitely, I mean, and it ties into her relationship with Logan, who, you know, I actually don't dislike Logan all that much, but I feel like in a way he kind of brings out that side of her, that sort of entitled, like immature, that it's like the faux maturity, which is exactly what you were just saying of her being like, I'm so grown up, and like it's like playing as an adult, and because that's his world, and like he kind of draws her into that, and then that's Emily and Richard's world. And I wonder, it's like, I mean, this is such a terrible analogy, but it's kind of like that thing of, you know, if you let your kid, like, you know, have a sip of wine here and there when they turn drinking age, like, are they going to go and binge drink? Are they going to be like, I mean, it's fine. Like, I know what that's about. Rory like hasn't had any of this world at all. And then she starts getting a bit at Chilton, and like she starts getting a little bit at Yale, and then suddenly she's like thrown so much into it, and part of her likes it. Like, part of her likes the DAR. It likes all this stuff that Lorelai rebels so strongly against. And that's not necessarily a sympathetic part of her. And it's not, and it's so different from like the Lorelai character who we all love. So it's hard to kind of get on board with that. But I still like it. I don't know. I think it was important to see that for the viewer, like to see the differences. Because I feel like in season six, and Pam, I will let you talk in a second because I have not shut up. I'm so sorry. but I feel like in season six, we kind of, for the first time, really start to see them as different people who like exist in different ways, and Rory not being just like a mini version of Lorelai. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? What do you think, Pam?
I don't want to backtrack too much, so I'll just say yes. I agree.
All right.
Oh no.
No, Pam. Well, what would you like to talk about next, Pam? You steer us somewhere where you would like to speak.
I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know. I guess if we're talking about Rory, maybe we should just go into just kind of like the repercussions of her actions, which I really appreciated. I think that it would have been so easy to let her off with a slap on the wrist. And in a way, she kind of did get that. But 300 hours of community service is really like, it's a blow to...
It's not nothing.
No, but it's a blow to the ego if you're somebody like Rory. And I think that that was really nice to see, because for the first time, she was kind of out of her comfort zone, and she kind of realized that, like, it kind of goes back to the whole, but I'm a Gilmore situation. Like, she's suddenly feeling so entitled, but then she realizes that it doesn't even matter, like, who she is. It doesn't matter who her boyfriend is, like, what their names are. Like, at the end of the day, you're still a citizen of this place, and you need to answer for your actions. Like, there are some things that even, like, Richard and Emily can't get you out of, so... I really appreciated that, because it was kind of like a nice grounding point for her, because it would have been so easy for her to like to kind of even go further off the scales, if you will.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I think that it really bothered me the way that they made her handle the community service, because I think, well, first of all, it was super unfair that she got that many hours. I mean, I did sort of feel for her in that moment, but once, you know, you saw her sort of, she like came in and took charge, and she was like, oh yeah, we're gonna do this, and I was like, oh my god, no. Like, it just annoys the crap out of me that the way that she handled that and came out on top of that, because I don't know why. I think it just speaks to a side of Rory that maybe I don't enjoy that much. Like, I think it's an interesting thing to do to your main character to have her be. And I don't know, maybe there are plenty of people who love her, I'm sure, but I felt like she just became insanely unlikable here. And also with all the romance, like the way she was acting, like I feel like Rory's story is just so much about romance in a way that Lorelai's just isn't. Like, I know she has romance stuff, but because that thing with Luke is so set, Lorelai, like, I feel like they balance her storyline a lot better than they do Rory's here. It always came back to romance, even when she and Paris, I was, like, so excited when they were going to move in together, because I was like, finally, the two of them, like, are going to have some storylines that aren't about guys. And then the two guys came busting in, and I was just like, no. I had so many frustrations. So I'm not totally sure how I felt about that.
I think that I don't love Rory in this season, but I often don't like either Rory or Lorelai. Like, I kind of love them both, but they both annoy me a lot. That's as funny. Characters. And I think Lorelai annoys me more than she has you in the previous seasons.
Mm, yeah. So yeah, maybe I'm liking her most of the time,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, yeah. And that totally makes sense. But I think they all, except for Emily, who is the queen, they all annoy me.
Well, she annoys the hell out of me sometimes. So
oh, please. Emily is, yeah. But I think, look, I would say this for Rory's character in this season. I completely agree that her storyline is a lot about romance all the time. I mean, but she's also like a teenager, so I kind of get that. And they do make a point of saying every so often, like, you've always kind of just been in relationships with people, and like, you know, they have that whole thing about how she doesn't really know how to date and et cetera. And I'm like, well, that's, you know, observant. That's true. But I think also, like, all of the, like we said before, all of the kind of unlikable, quote unquote, qualities of Rory. And I don't really think a character needs to be likable, although it obviously tests your patience much longer when Rory and Lorelai are separated, because it's kind of like, it's like when you're watching Lord of the Rings and you're like, oh, do I have to watch Frodo crawl over rocks again? Like, I just want to fast forward, because like you want to get to the other characters who you want to see. So I can totally imagine that sentiment with Rory. But I still think that all of the things that happen with her are very in character. Like, it doesn't feel...
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't feel out of character.
No, it still feels cohesive with like the kind of character that they've set up. And I think in a way season six, maybe what I like about season six is that to me it makes Rory a lot more interesting. Like, it makes her a lot more layered in seeing, like, we start to see you know, some layers in her relationship with her mother, her relationship with her grandparents, which until then has been very like pretty much like, oh, they're great, and like, mom, why don't you see that, you know, they're so nice and like helpful, and like, let's be on side. And she starts to kind of see, oh, it's a lot more complicated than that. And the I feel like that's kind of what Rory has to go through this season,
right? The way that we saw her fall out with her grandparents and not knowing how to fix it was very sort of ironic, considering the way that she has always tried to bring her mother and her grandparents together. And she's like, mom, why don't you just make peace with them, like, blah blah blah. And now here she's in the exact same situation.
It was also kind of mean too, because you know, like, she literally just stops talking to them, has her friends move her out, with it's like actually very ungrateful, because it
all
goes
that
back
way
to
she
entitled.
Was treating them extremely entitled and way more with her grandparents than she ever has with her mother. I think,
look, I'm not saying that, like, well, the thing about Rory too is that she kind of cherry picks her grandparents' qualities, because when it's convenient for her, they're like the best people in the world, and Lorelai needs to settle down and like be the bigger person and apologize. But as soon as she's having problems with them, she, like, all of her mom's like nitpicky things about her parents, like everything that bothers Lorelai about Richard and Emily, like, she chooses to accept. And like, and that's like, it's not fair on either parts. And I'm not saying Richard and Emily are saints, but it's also like, come on, Rory, like, you at least owe them like a proper goodbye, because they could have just said, you know what, if you don't want to go back to school, we're not going to help you. You figure it out on your own. If you want to be an adult, go figure it out. Right. So.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's totally, I mean, it's really immature. It's just a total lack of accepting responsibility.
I think the theme of Gilmore, like, I think all of these people are immature in different ways.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing happen. And you know what I actually thought was really interesting, especially about the Emily and Richard in this season, because as you guys know, I was very mad at them last season, and the way they handled the thing with Lorelai and basically took Rory away. And even in this season, when it went sour, they were like, oh, Lorelai, come and help us. And I'm sort of thinking, because there's a lot in the show, and you guys can tell me if I'm, you probably don't agree with this, but there's a lot in the show about how, you know, Rory is like the mom and Lorelai is like the kid. But if that's the case, Emily and Richard are like the toddlers. Like, they are like the small children, because you can see the way that they always need to have their way, and they get really petulant when they don't. And they're really like, the way that they act and react, and Emily running off to try to buy a plane because she was angry. Like, I really feel like their way of dealing with problem is very childlike. And I know that some, like, Lorelai's is in a way as well, but I think Emily and Richard is like even more so. Like, when they get their way, they're fine. But the minute they don't, they like regress in that way. And I think that's really interesting. I would disagree. Well, I figure you would disagree, but I'm really like, the more I think about it, the more I think that I think that is accurate.
No, I just, here's where I disagree with that, is I think that they are all equally as poor. I mean, I'm kind of excluding Richard a little more from this, because I think it's sort of meant to be like a Gilmore female trait. Mm-hmm. But the three of them, and Richard just kind of goes along with Emily, we know at this point. They're all incredibly bad at dealing with not getting their way. And I think the difference is that you see it on a bigger scale with Emily because she's rich and doesn't have a job, and with Rory because she's a teenager and can act out. And like, Lorelai is the one who kind of has to keep it together a little more. But I think actually all of their reactions are the same.
Yeah, like, I agree with that. Thing, right,
but you
right.
just see it on different scales.
They're very like they're very family.
Like, Lorelai can't be like, I'm going to go and buy a plane, but she can go to Suki and be like, I'm sulking and like, I'm not going to do anything. Like, that's the way that you know,
yeah, for
manifests
sure.
for her. So like, I totally agree. I think they're all terrible, but I think they're equally terrible. Like, I don't think.
I think maybe that's like the way that that in because maybe because they have that financial freedom and stuff, they are allowed to take it further. I feel like Lorelai, like, for better or worse, like, when she decided to leave that life behind, she also reckoned, like, she had to be able to pull her crap together in a way. Like, she had to learn how to do that, even though that doesn't come naturally to her. And I think what we're seeing, and it's so clever, like, it's such a clever character work, because what we're seeing with her is every once in a while, like, yeah, she will regress to that very immature and very self-centered point and stuff, but for the most part, she has to make it work.
I would agree with that. But shall we go back to Rory a little bit more before we've kind of moved to Lorelai? But like, there is a major, and we can talk about Logan, but there's also a major non-romantic plotline for Rory this season, which is like her kind of figuring out her life and everything. And so she like takes time off from school, and she's like organizing all these social events and doing this stuff for Emily, which meanwhile, some of my favorite episodes. but then, you know, she decides like, no, I'm going to go back to school. Like, I want to be a journalist. Like, this is the thing I want to do. And then we get the whole Yale Daily News plotline with her in Paris. Did you like that, not like that? Any thoughts on, you know, that kind of part of her? Because I mean the Logan thing is going on, but like, this is also a substantial part of like what she's dealing with this season.
Yes And I do like a lot of that stuff. Like, I like how, again, we were talking about last season, how it's very realistic that Rory comes into this. She's always been the best, you know, she's always been the best at school and the best at this and that. And suddenly she's not the best, and she has no idea how to deal with that. But I think the season did a really good job of showing her slowly build back up. And even though I think the thing with Paris was like very intentionally, like almost cartoonish, you know, in the way she locked herself in their office.
I mean,
like,
Paris it makes is sense. Kind of cartoonish.
Yeah, she is. She is a cartoon character, basically. And it made sense, everything that happened with her. And I feel like the way that Rory got control of that was very, very entertaining and very interesting, and tested their bond. And, you know, and obviously they came out of it still friends, for better or worse, which is nice. And I liked it. I liked that part a lot, I think.
What I liked about
Pam, was there like college... Was there drama like this on your college newspaper?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, first of all, like, All right. Well, if you guys, in a nutshell, my college experience was very different. And it was because when I was studying journalism, something called new media and social media was a new thing. And unfortunately, I know, dark ages, guys. And let's just say that there were people like me and like one other person, which was my friend, that were very interested in going forward with what the future of journalism was going to be like. And everybody else was not, because everybody else thought they were going to be, you know, the next big print news journalist. So I was not very popular.
But you weren't like locking yourself in a bunker, like level unpopular.
Yeah, but you know,
so
what?
You were doing fine.
That's true. But guess what? Like, I get to write now, and most of these people have had to find other jobs because they did right. not. The thing about journalism is you have to adapt. And at the end of the day, like, that's what Rory does. Like, Paris does not adapt to what the Yale Daily News needs, and that's why they vote her out. Like, she's thinking she can do it one way, and that's, like, not the way you can run things. So in that sense, it's very realistic. What I did appreciate was that Rory needed to step up to show that she was able to be responsible enough to, like, have the elusive title of editor-in-chief, because it would not have been realistic if they had just given it to her because she was back. Like, I think that, like, as if I was, like, a staff reporter at the Yale Daily News, like, I wouldn't want to hand my paper to somebody that gave up so easily last semester, you know? So I do right. appreciate that she needed to, like, show that she could run things and show that she was, like, in it again and that she, like, wanted to put her 110%. So I really liked that. And that's actually one of, I didn't list it as my favorite episode, which we'll get to, like, later, but that was one of my favorite moments of this season.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely one of my favorite episodes. Okay, and then Logan, do we need to talk about him? He's also here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we do need to talk about it. I think it's interesting.
We do, of course we do.
We need to. We just skip him. That would be really funny.
Like, anyway, I mean, look, there's another romance of Rory's that we could be talking about.
Oh my gosh. anyway. Contain yourself, Marima. We have to wait.
All right.
We need to
they
wait.
Say, okay. She is not a shipper.
All right. Tell us about Logan.
On Logan, though, I think I've said before, I said in season 5, too, that I actually don't dislike Logan. And even though this season did take him to some places that, you know, hashtag we were on a break. I think, you know, I came out of the season not hating Logan. You know, I think he's fine. Yeah, I think he's fine. I think, you know, even though
their relationship makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. And even though him sleeping with people when he was... I think the thing about Logan that maybe speaks in his favor is that we have heard a lot about him being a womanizer and, a deviant and blah, 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 blah. But what we actually see on screen is none of those things. Like, we only know them because they've told us. Like, we haven't...
Mm-hmm.
He's just a decent guy. And, you know, every once in a while they throw in those comments like, oh, you're the first girlfriend that I've ever, like, committed to. And I'm like, that doesn't feel that way though, because you seem like a very easily committed boyfriend. Like, I don't get the drama here. So I think when we found out that thing about him having like slept with all those girls and stuff, I was like, oh, finally, now I get it. That's what they mean. And I was like a little bit more lenient because I was like, okay, well, now I know that part of Logan. And Rory clearly knew that, you know, it wasn't happening when they were together. He didn't actually sleep on her. Cheat on her.
thanks, English.
I don't know anything about that. I haven't read the fanfic. Anyway, you were saying, Pam?
Oh, no, what I will say is that, like, I get what you're saying with the whole, like, oh, but he looks like he would be the relationship type. But at the same time, you have to remember that they are fairly young, so it's not unrealistic to think that he was never in a relationship before because it never presented itself.
He's
like,
so
the opportunity.
Young. Yeah.
Yeah. But what I do like about Logan, and, like, obviously he has his faults, like every character in this series has their faults, is that he's very transparent and, like, it's not like he's not a bad guy because he's necessarily, like, sneaking around. He's just flawed because of his situation. And so that's something that I do appreciate about him.
I agree with that. I think Logan is flawed in, like, a very kind of obvious way of just, like, being a privileged kid who just, like, grew up in this particular circumstance. And maybe until he was kind of with Rory, never really had to address that because he just remained within his, so like, his that context.
Yeah, he's like a little lost boy.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
Right.
He's like a lost
boy. And so, yeah. That's what I mean, I guess, about their relationship making sense. Like, exactly like you said, he's not nefarious. Like, he's not sneaking around behind her back.
Yeah, probably exactly. He's not a bad guy.
He could have, like, given her a heads up about the girls, probably, but, like, you know, understandable why he wouldn't have wanted to. I think Logan is, I like Logan a lot in this season. I said last season also, he was probably one of my favorite characters in season five. And I like him a lot in season six. Oh, you know, he has his, have their issues, but here's what I like, just to finish this. Here's what I like about Rory and Logan in this season is that, aside from the kind of the girls at the wedding, I feel like for the most part, they managed to make the conflict between them kind of about the two of them versus necessarily about like external circumstances in a way that they do for Lorelai's relationships. So they have to like bring in external conflict, but I think they do a good job of making it clear the way that Rory and Logan kind of grate against each other just because of their different perspectives.
Yes, I agree with that. I was just going to say that I think my problem with Logan, and this is sort of a very unfair and very subjective problem, is that I just don't feel like his and Rory's storyline is in any way exciting or interesting. You know, sure. and I think the show sort of dives into that even a little bit in the episode when they all go to the beach house. Which apparently people don't like that episode. I actually thought it was pretty good.
Oh, I hate that episode.
Yeah, it's funny. Like I read that too because I was like trying to read about like some good season six episodes that I may have skipped, and people were like, I hate it, and I actually thought it was good. But anyway, you see what the normalcy of Rory and Logan and Lorelai and Luke's lives could be like, and I was like, oh my god, this is so boring.
And you know, yes, what?
Like, I would kill watching Luke and Lorelai. This is how I feel watching Luke and Lorelai every episode.
Well, I get that. I thought that the boring thing was the way that Logan and Rory were like playing host in this like nice house, right, and blah 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 and stuff. Yeah. You could see that Luke was bored out of his mind, and that's, you know, the redeeming thing about Luke for me.
Luke in that episode.
I just think that the Rory and Logan thing is fine, but it is not in any way interesting. And I think that's when we come into the other thing that makes Merrim a squee. is that it's just more interesting.
Well, just quickly before we get into that, I do want to say that I think that the reason that episode is so cringe is because you get this snapshot of, like you said, what their lives could be like, and it's like Rory needs to want more than that, because it would just be so easy for her to say,
it's
like, oh, I could be a
like
journalist,
that episode.
Or I could just stay home and wait for you every day while you gallivant across, you know,
but
this and that. And that's the
like
problem.
What I
Emily.
Love about it, though, is that it's basically that episode of season one when she was playing housewife for Dean.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, but she was young then. I mean, like, I'll give her a pass for that one.
Yeah. Selena will never forget.
Yeah, also that was a one-night thing. That was a one-night thing. If she had stayed with Dean, they would have probably still had to, like, work, because she wouldn't have been comfortable with money on, like, both sides. Like, that's the whole thing.
It scarred my soul. And then when Lindsay reenacted it, oh my god, you guys.
Also, like, the episode at the house in this season comes after, like, 10 episodes that we see Rory kind of being a little mini Emily. And, like, that's essentially what Emily's life. And that's what Emily wanted to do. Like, she, you know, she talks about whatever, but like, that's not what Rory seems to want to do. And then the ease with which she kind of fits into that is somewhat disconcerting, I think. Okay. Yeah. But so we need to, to finish up on Logan,
okay.
We kind of get some closure also on the like Rory and Logan's family thing towards the end of this season when Logan has his accident. And we finally get like a confrontation between Rory and Mitchum. Where she's obviously no longer like intimidated by him or scared of him or like all of those things that was sort of the catalyst for what happened in season five finale. And we also, which we can talk about when we get to them, we do get like a kind of similar thing, I guess, with Emily and Richard and like the Huntsburgers earlier on. So I guess that's sort of the conclusion of like this season of, you know, the Gilmore versus Huntsberger, like, turf war or whatever whatever the thing is. But I mean, the elephant in the room is, you know, it's not Logan who convinces Rory to go back to school. It's someone else, and it's a beautiful someone who has his life together and is like runs his publishing house and is just like long hair is doing things, and it's Jess, guys. It just came back.
I've literally turned into the heart eyes emoji over here, you guys.
You can hear it in your voice.
Oh my
gosh.
Because he's perfect. He's finally like, oh my gosh, I can't.
Pam's like, they're in the same place. They're finally in the same place.
And he's in the right place. That's the, this is my favorite Jess part of like the entire series, because he's finally in a good place to be with Rory, and she's the one that messes it up. It's really, it's really nice. But he's like, it's nice to see him go from like that punk kid to somebody who really has like realized his trajectory in life. And it's just like, I'm so happy for him, and I'm so happy that he stands up for himself. And it's just like, it's so nice. It's so nice.
And you know what? I will say, because obviously like going into this, you guys were like, yes, yes, yes. And obviously it's this Jess. Whereas I liked him from the beginning, even though I didn't 100% know that this was where his story was going to end. But I think, as because a lot of people are like, oh, I hate Jess because I know people in real life who are like Jess. Whereas I think maybe a little bit unfairly, I was thinking, well, okay, but this is a TV show. If Jess starts out this way, he's not going to end this way. Like, obviously, he's in for a journey. And I think Jess's journey, I mean, I'm so happy to see him like this, because this is like the best case scenario for a character that's introduced as being, you know, they even said in the show, like, we're not ready for each other, or like, he's not ready, or something like that. Like, they kept kind of hinting that he was going to get his shit together at some point, you know? And I just, seeing that happen and seeing him come back so confident, like a little good fairy in Rory's messed up life, it was really nice. And it was really, I love character arcs that do that. You know, I love actually seeing characters learn from their mistakes and grow. And, you know, obviously he read that self-help tape that helped, you know, Luke too magically. And and I need to get my hands on that, because it's clearly magic. But I loved it. I loved everything with Jess in this. And not even necessarily just in terms of a shipping thing, just in terms of seeing his arc fully realized.
Well, it's satisfying.
You know?
Because he definitely has one of the, to the point of the show that we've seen, he has one of the most significant character arcs, and yes, even in like the minimal episodes that he kind of appears in, from where he started to where he ended up. Like, if you compare him with Dean, say, from like season 1 through season 4, like, Dean regresses basically.
Yeah, he certainly has an arc, but
yeah. Well, Dean has his downward spiral. And Logan, like, I mean, I don't dislike Logan, but like you say, we kind of hear about how Rory's changed Logan a lot. We don't necessarily see a lot of it. We see a little bit at the start, and then I would say that Rory and Logan kind of plateau, like their relationship kind of stays.
That's
sort of
stagnant. Where they're gonna go.
It stays the same, right?
Yeah,
right. So versus like Jess has, like, if you're just looking at the three boys as they like kind of go in and out or whatever, like, he has the most noticeable arc, and it's, and I, you know, it's obviously not an accident that like he is the person who manages to convince Rory to be like, what are you doing with your life? And I know that there is a lot of criticism of people being like, well, that's ridiculous, because the person who knows Rory best is Lorelai. And so obviously it should be Lorelai. But like, I can see why an outside perspective would be the thing that like breaks through, especially because like Jess is someone who Rory thinks would always be on her side and would always like see from her point of view. Versus, like, I don't think she thinks her mom would always see from her point of view.
But it's just also, like, a wonderful role reversal, right? Because it is kind of a full circle moment. Like, Rory and Jess's problems stemmed from the fact that he wasn't taking things seriously, and that he dropped out of school, and that all that stuff happened. And now, you know, her life, you even see it in the way that she sort of, you know, the way that she talks about his book and how amazed she is that he made this thing. And she was making that comparison, like, oh, well, if he can write a book, then I can, why haven't I written a book, kind of thing. Like, seeing him get his life together so spectacularly as hers kind of falls apart is very significant, I think.
Yeah. And we also, and we will definitely move on to Lorelai so Selena can be happy. But we also get a really nice moment with Jess and Luke, which is really important.
They get a second hug.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think there's certainly a lot more care, I would argue, taken with Jess's appearances than, like, say, for example, Dean's later appearances in this, mm-hmm. where the writers are taking care to be like, it's not just a shipping thing of being like, well, Jess has to come back in and, like, save the day and whatever. It's also like, okay, but we also need to see, like, what's happening with Luke and, like, Jess's thoughts on April and, like, all of this kind of stuff. It definitely feels like there is a certain level of care that's, like, going into his portrayal that certainly Dean didn't get. And, like, that a lot of sort of side character, like, even Suki doesn't really get at times. But it was very nice. Okay, so... Okay, well, let's jump to Lorelai then. We talked a lot about their estrangement, so we probably don't need to go into that too much more, but Lorelai has a lot going on during that time. For example, engaged is a thing that is happening. Selena, did you die?
I did! Well, now
you
I'm
did
a little
not
less
expect
dead.
This was going to happen. Like...
no, I was so excited. But I did, and you have this point in the doc. Can I just express how severely upset and angry I am at how, like, the people in Stars Hollow were treating Luke because he was not the person to, like, ask. Like, I was like, are you really?
Yeah. Well, Stars Hollow not the most progressive place. I think that was not. Pam's point. Yeah. Just so Pam gets credit, but yeah.
But yeah, I was excited, but I mean, obviously as I'm like sort of, I was aware that they probably weren't going to get married. So I was very not as excited, but I was surprised by how long they lasted, you know, I'm
oh, really?
Surprised by how long they last.
Right. Cause you're like, well, they can't be together until season 7,
yeah,
maybe
like,
till their revival.
They really
so.
Spent like most of the show together at this point, which is very interesting. But,
yeah.
But I did love it. And I did love how obviously their relationship functions extremely well. And it is, as I predicted, a very external factor that ended up, you know, leading to the mess that they're in at the end of the season. But I was very excited by, I just really like the two of them. I think, you know, whereas with Logan and Rory, I feel like it's extremely boring. I feel like Luke and Lorelai is steady in a way that I think Lorelai needs, because Lorelai, the character, is so up here, you know, whereas Rory, the character, is very naturally down there. So she needs some excitement in her life, whereas Lorelai needs the opposite. She needs someone to calm her down a little bit, you know?
Yeah, she needs like the stability.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah, that's very well observed. I think I totally agree. Do you want to talk about kind of the on and off of the wedding and like the trying to get the dress, like the wedding date and everything? I mean, that's kind of what's going on all while the estrangement is happening. But the major thing that happens is obviously April. So... Pam, what
yeah, how do you guys
about
feel
April
about April
rewatching? I'm curious, Pam, like what do you feel about this kind of April, this whole thing with April and like the wedding and etc. watching it now?
I think that April, it's not her fault that she's, you know,
yeah.
that it's her fault, but I am so conflicted on April because I don't hate her. I just hate what they have done with her. And a lot of it's not even her fault. What I really dislike the most about the fact that April is the reason that everything starts kind of tumbling around them is that her mother is so opposed of, like... Well, first, it's, like, Luke not wanting to be overshadowed by Lorelai because Lorelai is, like, every child's dream. But then it's, like, her own mother is, like, no, I don't want you to, like... introduce your girlfriend to your daughter, which is like fine, but it's also like that's not they're engaged, so this point
oh,
like
but
really
engaged
bothers me.
Married Pam,
yeah, but it just bothers
yeah, Pam,
me so
once
much.
People get married, that's they're never
totally
not being married.
Different. Yes,
oh my gosh, it just
that logic?
It really bothers me yeah. so much because it's like it's also like such a slap in the face to Lorelai for it's Anna, right? Anna Nardini.
Yeah,
Anna to say like, oh, but like, even though you're engaged, like you maybe you're not serious, like you guys are gonna break up. But that's basically what she's saying, and I hate it. I absolutely
right.
hate it. And I know
well,
that it stems from like jealousy on her part because she doesn't want her daughter to like love another woman more than her, which is like stupid because she never will. But it just really bothers me. Like this is the thing that bothers me most about this season.
Yeah. And you know what I think from my perspective again, you know, I feel like I have zero problem with April. I actually think she's kind of sweet and interesting. I have a problem with the way that everybody acts around April. Like, if the way that what April does to everybody, to Luke, first of all, what the hell? Like, the way that Luke is, like, I'm, for most of the season, I was, like, ready to build a shrine to Lorelai for how patient she was being about Luke's completely ridiculous attitude. And when he finally came out and he's like, oh, but I just know that once you're there, like, she's gonna like you more. Like, F that! Like, what the hell? Like, what kind of logic? Like, Luke, I feel like Luke would never think that, and I think that's stupid. Lorelai, like, the way she gets, like, genuinely annoyed that April exists, like, I do feel like that, even though she does her very best to be patient, you can feel that that is a really weird reaction to have. Anna, obviously, is the worst in the world. Like, that whole thing with Lorelai and with not letting Luke, like, I just, I can't with that. That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. I just got so mad. And I, like, with Pam, I feel really bad because actually there's nothing wrong with April. But the way they used her in the story was just absurd.
Yeah.
To me, I thought it was such a stupid way of introducing conflict.
And I do want to say very quickly, like, that just because I feel like people are going to, like, write in and say, like, it's reasonable for Anna to be this way, blah, blah, blah. I'm a child of divorce. My parents divorced when we were very young. I was 5 and my brother was 2. And my dad remarried, like, within, like, 2 years or something. Like, he found somebody else, and, like, that's nice and whatever. But I just, like, I don't understand situations like this because, like, if my mother can allow her 2 young children to, like, go over and stay with their father and their new stepmother, I just don't understand why, like, other people, like, can't make
no
it work.
Reason, yeah. There's no reason to limit your child's social circle in that way. It's kind of like saying, oh, well, April, you're not allowed to be friends with this girl at school because if her parents break up, then, like, one of them might move away. Like, it just, you know, it's like, it's not, you know, there's no logic to it. Like, if she's going to have a relationship with Luke.
I totally agree. And I also think, I mean, I think the thing that bothers me about this is that I just don't see how it's Anna's place to decide who Luke introduces April to.
Exactly.
Like, Anna can say, look, I don't want to introduce April to any of my boyfriends until, like, it's super serious. But, like, it's not, first of all, like, she didn't tell Luke about April. So she can't then be like, oh, well, you're just getting to know her. It's like, yeah, because he didn't know she existed.
And so she's a super level-headed child. So, like, clearly she's not going to be, like, emotionally scarred by this whole thing. Like, she's not pushing April on Luke. April is pushing herself into the situation. So she's willing and interested. Kind of like,
and it's kind also, of like,
go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, it also, like you were saying, it's a slap in the face to Lorelai. It's also such a slap in the face to Luke to be like, I don't trust that you kind of know yourself or, like, understand the seriousness of your relationship well enough to judge if you should be introducing to this woman or not. Like, I mean, this woman so who she doesn't problems. Know, because, again, like, she has not introduced April to Luke before. Like, I just, so much of this is Anna's fault.
Yeah, there's so many problems with the logic. Like, there's so many like, it's almost also like, oh, well, my kid can't have a pet because one day it'll die and it's going to make her sad.
Right.
Like, you know, no. Or, like, you can't have friends because one day you'll be mad at them and then you'll be sad. Like, it's a weird, but even if you took that, her logic of saying, well, not until you're married, it's just
right.
Not, like, on either she lives in the 1800s or she's not a, like, that's not a real thing. Like, it's just, it's such a fabricated thing. And especially because what we've seen from Anna, she's actually been, like, really nice and really funny and really sensible. And that whole thing, like, it just bothered that. Like, it was such a way, oh, we've reached the finale. We need a reason for this to happen.
Sure.
And what happens with Lorelai afterwards is equally frustrating. but yeah, no, that was
worst. Well, and just, I mean, just to finish up on that, the April thing, I think the thing that frustrates me the most about this, and again, like, I mean April's fine, like, I don't like teenagers of that age in general in TV shows are kind of grating, so it's like she's just a kid with like kid problems, and like, that's fine. And I'm not that, honestly, like, I'm not that invested in the Luke and her relationship kind of trajectory, because I feel like we've already had such a great, like, in a way, and I know this sounds ridiculous, but, like, it for me, it kind of undervalues the bond between Luke and Rory, which is, like, has been so important to this point. Yeah. And And in a way, it's like, I just felt like until this moment, like the show had done such a great job of being like, you can be a parent to someone who's like not your child. Like Luke is a parent to Jess, right? To his nephew. Like Luke like helps him get his life together. And Luke is like, in almost every way, was also a parent to Rory. And despite like him and Lorelai, even before they were together, like, you know, that town raised that girl, but like, but Luke was always there. And I don't know, for me, just watching this, it just kind of leaves a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth, because I feel like it then says, oh, well, but none of that matters now, because now Luke has like a real child who he can put his, all his love or whatever into. And like, I know that, I mean, it's, that's kind of a, it's like a very subjective kind of whatever. And I know the show's not necessarily saying that, but like, to me as an audience member, that's kind of how it makes me feel. And I also agree. I just think like Luke is so out of character in this whole situation. And I think his actions in this particular situation really color his character for me in a negative way, even though I know like this doesn't feel in character. At the same time, like watching these episodes, I'm like, oh, this is why I'm not so on board with Luke. Like, I'm pretty sure it's down to this. I'm serious. I think it's because of what happens in these episodes. And, like, I hadn't really put that together before. But I was watching it being like, Luke, what is wrong with you? Like, what are you doing? And, like, the way he treats Lorelai in this, I was like, oh, this is why I don't like them together. Like, this is the reason. Like, I've cracked the case. So that's good.
That makes sense. I get it. I definitely don't love this about them. But again, I'm coming into this feeling like it's very out of character and very fabricated.
Very manufactured.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like it's and that's always the thing with TV shows, is when you judge like a thing that happens to a character, sometimes you might go, oh, well, that's out of character, so it doesn't count. That's kind of like a little bit how I feel about this, I think.
Well, all right. And speaking of out of character, do you want to talk about the end of the season, or have you just blocked that from your mind?
Oh, no. You guys, like, how I cannot believe that this is so stupid. Like, I knew, obviously, the Christopher thing was going to come back to bite us eventually, or bite me, I guess.
Well, because he has got his shit together in this season. Like, he's rich now, and he's hanging out, and hey. Yeah. And he's, like, best friends with Logan, and that's very weird. And, so you know? Weird.
I mean, yeah, I think at that point I was just like, oh, I'm so done with everything. And I think, you know, again, speaking of manufactured conflict, like, I think for the most part, I think Lorelai did everything really well. Like, she handled the situation the best she could through the season, and obviously then we get to the finale and she jumps into bed with Christopher, and it's just like, no, Lorelai, no. You know, because she's convinced the wedding isn't gonna happen. I get that,
yeah,
but they have, like, unlike Logan, they haven't actually gone on a break or anything like that, you know? Like, there hasn't actually been any.
Yeah.
Luke has no idea, and I feel like that's terrible, and that's never okay. And
yeah, but yeah. I feel like it makes sense for her character to go back to Christopher. Like, we've seen that happen again.
Yeah, it is. It's just it doesn't mean it's right. Like, if Lorelai had broken up with Luke, or if she'd said, you know, I mean, I guess she kind of...
Oh, she's totally in the wrong. Yeah, like, she's totally in the wrong. But I think it's... I find that more understandable, as, like, I can see the motivation of her character being like, well, this is... I mean, he's just that guy that's, like, waiting for me apparently forever. I'll just, like, go and sleep with him, I guess.
I just hate that's a thing, though, because then you think about, like, the potential future with Luke and Lorelai. It's like, are you always going to run to Christopher every time there's a problem? Like, it's not, it's not a healthy vice, and she needs to, like, grow out of that, and he needs to learn how to say no. And it just, like, it's a trope that's gone on too long at this point, and I think that that's what frustrates me the most, like, about it, especially this season.
But do you think that it's, like, do you feel like it's drawn out? Because I guess, and obviously, like, we all know, I'm not team Christopher. I just think they're more interesting for reasons like this. But, like, I mean, I've had a relationship like this where it's just kind of, like, it just seems like it's never really going to be over, you know? And it's just kind of there. Like, I totally get that draw. You know, that the way that they set this up, especially because they're so young when they're together, like, they never really knew each other as, like, a real human adult people. Like, they only knew this kind of immature, like, idealistic sort of version. Mm-hmm. And apparently Christopher has, I mean, even with Sherry, he has never really grown out of that. Yeah. Like, he's always just had this attachment. And I think that's the opposite, like, for Lorelai is like, in a way, she kind of, I mean, I think they both kind of take advantage of each other.
They do.
Like, mm-hmm. in that, like, Lorelai kind of knows Christopher will always be there, just waiting. Yeah. And he kind of knows, like, well, if she's, like, not with anyone else, maybe she'll come to me.
You know what?
Like, maybe I can, I don't know. I think it's interesting. I don't think it's good. No. It's definitely not healthy.
I just think my problem with it is, look, I think we've all had relationships that are both convenient and comfortable that we keep going back to because they are A, convenient, and B, comfortable. But the sad thing is, like, when you think about the future of those relationships, like, first of all, you're not together for a reason. And second of all, it's not fair to either of you because you're only ever going to love somebody halfway. Like,
right. It's really toxic.
It's so, and that's what's so sad about it. It's like, and so it's disappointing because you see these people just, like, stuck in this never-ending loop. And it's like, they're never going to go anywhere. And they're stunting themselves for people that could be better for them. So I think that that's why it just kind of, like, breaks my heart a little bit.
I also feel about Lorelai and Christopher, and that's something that I've begun to notice, especially this season, but I was thinking back on the whole show. I think one of my main issues with them is that they're always talking backwards in a way. Like, they're always talking about their past, or they're talking about Lorelai's parents, or obviously Rory, which is fair enough. But it's always in the past. And even though, like you said, Merima, like, they've never known each other as adults, I feel like they still don't. And I feel like they never really will, because their relationship will always be about, oh, remember when we were 16 and I climbed out the window, you know? And
they're,
and
like, so nostalgic. They're kind of nostalgic for a relationship that almost doesn't exist except in their minds.
Exactly. And I think for me, because I feel like they're never going to move beyond that, I almost find them, like, not interesting for that reason, because they're always existing in that space.
Yeah, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. Okay, so I feel like Richard and Emily kind of didn't have as much going on this season, but was there anything you guys wanted to particularly talk about with them? I mean, they're going to come up in our favorite episodes and things, obviously. But
and I think just because I was so hard on them, I will say that I actually absolutely loved how they took down the Hunts burgers.
Oh, yes.
When, Queen they were Emily. Warriors.
I thought that was brilliant. And
And
I do. I mean, once... Whenever they're on good terms with each other, I love them, and I love Emily in that situation and stuff. It's just, I feel like every time there's a conflict, I come out on Lorelai's side. And even when Rory was being horrible to them, I still wasn't on their side because I was like, well, suits them, you know, for what they did. So yeah.
Okay, and I mean, we'll quickly run through, I guess, just some of the other side characters. But again, these will come up, I promise, in our favorite characters. So, like, Paris is kind of having a meltdown. Paris is poor now. Like, poor Paris. She's not having a good season. Lane and Zach are married.
Oh my god, yes.
Which we will get to, because best episode ever. And you know, just the town is existing, it's kind of going on. So shall we talk about some of our favorite episodes, because I see that we kind of have a lot listed here.
Okay.
Yeah, Selena, why don't you get us started, and then we will do our maybe some things we didn't like, and of course then we will do predictions, and then we will get to people's emails and feedback. But
okay.
Yeah,
I think we got a few more tweets too, which we have to check. But anyway, so I tried to pick a few different ones that I saw you guys pick, because I feel like you got the ones that are, like, the most hashtag iconic. So I went with, let me hear your balalaikas ringing out. And that's the one where Jess came back for the first time, and I love it for that reason. Like, and I love it because I didn't know it was happening, and he just walked up and I was like, ah! Like, that was the actual noise that came out of me. And I thought it was so good.
I, like, forgot that you wouldn't know that he was going to turn up.
Yeah, no, I had no idea.
What about when he came back? Like, what about the second time? Did you die a bit?
Oh, my God, I did. I was like, it was so good. Like, everything with Jess this season was just so, like, I love it so much. And I love his life. Like, I want his life.
Right, same.
Like, oh, my ultimate wish fulfillment. But yeah, so I really like that one. I really liked Super Cool Party People, you know, for Lorelai being super cool party person. I thought it was nice. I want to give April a little bit of love, because I know the fandom really doesn't like her, and you know, I don't mind. And I like that what I liked about it, though, is that Lorelai got to come in and have a little bit of a win. Because, like, yeah, she genuinely is very good with kids. And no, it absolutely made no sense that Luke tried to shut her out of this. So I like that before the whole thing with Anna went down, they actually reached a really good place. And I was very happy with that. And then, as I said, you know, the A Vineyard Valentine, I thought it was a good episode. Not in a way that I liked. I liked that it showed, that it gave us a glimpse of, as I said, what their lives would be like. And I liked, because I hated it, but I liked that the episode showed us that. And I hated the going to the gym and stuff. Like, there was a lot about it I didn't like.
I find it so interesting that, like, in watching that episode, you thought, oh, I like this because Luke totally sees through all this crap. And I hated it because I was like, Luke is being so rude. Why? Like, that's very telling. Yeah,
but he was super rude, though. I will say that I agree. Rude. I didn't like Luke in this episode. I thought he was super rude. But I liked. I guess I liked getting a slice of their lives in a little bit. It was a little bit of a bottle episode, which always reveals something new about the people. And I feel like it revealed a lot about, especially Logan and Rory's quote unquote normal and how boring that's it true. Is.
Pam, you got to weigh in on this. Where do you stand on A Vineyard Valentine?
Oh, didn't I already say this? It makes me cringe. I don't like it.
okay. All right, yeah. Good. I think you did say that. Yeah, I just wanted to back off.
It just, you know what? It makes me more uncomfortable because it just, I want more for Rory, and then you just kind of could easily see her slipping into this slump of a life. And,
but I think that was the point. That's why I like it.
No. I totally agree. I don't want it for her. That's all.
Lorelai is the only person acting like a normal person in that episode.
Yes, yeah.
You know, she was like, this is stupid. Let's go to the gym and drink cucumber water. Okay, whatever. That sounds hilarious. And then, like, Logan and Rory are being, like, weird Stepford people. And then Luke's just being an asshole.
Yeah, agreed.
Luke's
for
brought,
sure.
like, a whole, yeah. like, survival kit so he could stay in the room the whole time.
Yeah.
It's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, that is really funny, actually. Oh, man. Okay, Pam, what have you got for favorites?
For the sake of brevity, I picked one, and I picked We've Got Magic to Do. This is the episode where Rory correlates this amazing DAR party, and it's, like, all 1940s themed. And it's, like, I love this episode because it's a very interesting dynamic for Emily and Rory, too, because all of a sudden Emily realizes that maybe her granddaughter doesn't need her as much as she wants her to. And it's kind of nice to see, like, in a strange way, it's nice to see what Rory's life could be like if she were to stay in this world. But really, I picked it because I just love the showdown between Emily and Shira Hunsberger, because she just, like, takes her down in such an Emily way, and it's, like, it's amazing, and it's so great, and I love it.
I'm so glad you picked this one, because when I was saying at the top about how this contains some of my, like, favorite episodes of the whole series, that is one of them. I just love that. I love the stuff with Paris in that. Like, I love Rory. You know, I feel like, I think that episode in a way is, like, a good indication of how Rory could, like, balance between the two worlds. Like, if she likes doing these kinds of events and organizing things, there's no reason why she shouldn't also do that and also be, like, a cool journalist and have this amazing life that Lorelai wants her. Like, I think she can do both. And I feel like you see in that episode, actually, she does enjoy, like, kind of running these things, and maybe there are bits of this world that she likes, and kind of, you know, putting her own spin on it, not just doing, like, the sort of boring thing that Emily and her. And I love Emily's, like, all her weird DAR friends and everything that Emily
was. Isn't this the season two where they're all debating over which of the founding fathers would be better in bed?
That was at least at some point,
because really they're the funny. Daughters of the revolution, so of course they sit around talking about George Washington and shout out to our homeboy Alexander Hamilton.
There's, like, her one very her English friend for some reason who's, like, just really, like, filthy or something, and she's just like, that's very funny.
She's hilarious. She was also in Friends. I think she's very good.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're the Friends expert. You're the fur expert.
Okay,
and I picked hashtag iconic. I definitely went with Friday Night's Alright for Fighting. I feel like this is, kind of a quintessential Gilmore episode. I love this because it has the Yale Daily News stuff, which I am obsessed with. Again, like, this is one of my go-to Gilmore episodes. If I just, like, want to watch an episode, I love all that, like, you know, Woodward and Bernstein, like, running around, like, we're going to get this done. Like, this is a thing that's happening. And Rory taking charge. I'm like, I love what is going on with Paris. I just love it. It's just so good. And then the Friday night dinner that follows is so, like, I mean, horrible and also just hilarious in that, like, it's just these same fights that are going on. Like, you see Lorelai and Emily yelling at each other about, like, we didn't want to get married, and you're like, for real? Like, we're six seasons into this show, you're still having this fight, but, you know, you have to air some grievances. And I love this one. Selena, did you like this? Please tell me that you did.
Well, this, I will say, this is the funny thing about watching a show for the first time that everyone loves, is that I didn't go into this thinking that this was an episode that I was gonna love, which means that I didn't think anything special of it. And then that final sequence came and I was so confused. I was like,
oh really,
what is happening? Like, I was like, is there something wrong with my Netflix? Like, why is it skipping? Like, is it a dream? Like, I could not tell the hell was going on. And the episode just went on. It wasn't until, like, a couple of minutes into it, I was like, oh, it's some kind of montage. Oh, okay. And then I actually didn't like it very much.
Wow. Okay. Well, hey, when I watched this, I also did not know that, like, this was going to be one of the, like, whatever episodes. I just really liked it. But I love that because I think it just shows, like, how dysfunctional their family is. That they can, like, jump from being so polite and, like, so, and having those shots that they really set up at Friday Night Dinners, those, like, still shots of them just all sitting around the table and then there's, like, no movement or whatever, cutting to, like, them, like, screaming at each other.
And like finally six seasons in, they finally, you know, get some of this stuff out. Become more of a family. But I just feel like there wasn't really enough change. Like, it wasn't like a magic self-help tape kind of thing. Like,
no.
They kind of, if the moment had led to some real change in their relationships, I think I probably would have liked it more.
Well, I feel like it was just meant to be the kind of catharsis from the... They had to do something after the split between Lorelai and Rory and, like, the grandparents. Like, they couldn't just be like, we're sadly going to have dinner again. Like, that was just not a thing that was going to make any sense. They had to do something. So I feel like it wasn't really about moving forward so much as kind of just getting back to where they were.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
But anyway, I still love it. And then the objective best episode of all of Gilmore Girls, Lane's two weddings. And we find out that Mrs. Kim is, like, secretly, like, hiding her religion from her mother. And, like, there is the giant Buddha. And then there are, like, 64 Koreans. And it's, like, Lane's dress rips off the bottom. And there is nothing about this episode that I don't love. It is perfect and amazing. And I mean, I guess you'll say, like, what you don't love is, like, Christopher is there, but aside from that, like, oh, it's just so good. I just love it.
It was so good and
Zach, like, they're so cute together.
I guess I do too. I like them together. I don't like, I guess, the way that they, like, again, the reason they decided to get married and all of that. What I did love, and kind of moving, I guess, a little bit into favorite characters, I loved like Zach and Mrs. Kim.
Dream team, and
the fact that the two of them wrote their hit song together is just one of my favorite thing in the world. Like,
they're the best bromance on the show.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. And I almost, because again, when you look at a lot of the Lane and Zach stuff, you can almost, like, see that this was supposed to be, what's his face,
Dave. Never forget
Dave.
Yeah, like, Rogalski,
you can see that it was meant to be Dave, right? And they pretty much just slotted in Zach, and sometimes he just doesn't quite fit. But I think all of the stuff with Lane's mom works because it's Zach, and I think that's also one of the things I love about it, is that he feels like he really belongs there with Mrs. Kim.
I think so too
in those scenes. I think a lot of the time he feels like a placeholder, which is a bit of a shame, I think.
Well, I think they do a good, I think, look, I really, obviously we all want Lane to have Dave. We all want Dave. Lane deserved Dave, but, like, the stupid OC exists. So I think they do a good job with kind of making Zach kind of get his act together a bit before, like.
I agree with that. You know,
at the start, Lane's like, oh, she's like, why do I like this guy? Like, oh, this is the worst. And then she's like, no, I'm not about this. And then, you know, I mean, I know some people don't like this, but I actually think their wedding is so sweet. And
he's very sweet in general, very, like, though.
Yeah, because he's kind of representative of them.
He's kind of like a womanizer. Like, he's all about the groupies and stuff. But then when it comes to Lane, like, he's so sweet and he takes his time and he's like a little bit nervous. And it's really kind of like lovely to watch, even though obviously they don't progress as characters as much as they could. But obviously, like, we don't have time to spend like that much time with everybody. But it is nice.
No. Yeah, yeah. I really like it. I think as much as like a kind of Rory's best friend side character, like, this is. Lane does pretty well in this season, I think.
Yeah, she does. And again, yeah. I mean, Lane, you know, she doesn't have a lot to do with Rory anymore, but she still has a really interesting arc. And I love everything to do with Lane and the band. Like, arguably, she's probably the one who has the most, like, non-romantic storylines, even though she does have Zach and stuff. But I do really love it. And I love that the band is back together. And, you know, and I do love the idea of Lane and Zach. I just... Sometimes it feels like he's not quite his own character, which is a bit of a shame. But again, you know, with everything, a lot in this season, he feels more of himself, like he belongs to himself, which I really appreciate. And I love the wedding too.
Yeah, the wedding is great. Okay, so we've both waxed lyrical about Mrs. Kim, who is one of our favorite characters. You've got another one. Who else have you picked?
Yeah, well, I just said Lala because I feel like it's my go-to. Like, she still hasn't, even with the finale, you know, and I almost feel like it doesn't count because it probably goes into next season. I feel like Lorelai, the way she handled everything with Luke, who was, like, the worst this season. I was so sick of Luke this season. She was a saint with it, and I really felt for her with everything with Rory and Luke, and I just feel like she does a lot to put herself, to keep her life together. In a way that I really appreciate. And she got a dog. And it's all good. I like her.
Nice. Okay, well, I am just going to co-sign on Mrs. Kim, who is, again, like, my favorite every season. I was waiting for the Mrs. Kim spinoff. And then, obviously, Jess, who I probably don't need to say anything else about. So I would throw it to Pam.
Well, I will co-sign on Jess. So we're all on the same page. But then I also picked Paris, because Paris is just... Paris, when everything's, like, going wrong, she's always kind of, like, the bright light in the corner, and it's kind of fun to watch her. But what I do love, aside from, like, the obvious comedic element of her downward spiral from, like, tyrant to, like, nothing at the Yale Daily News, is I just kind of love how she's, like, always there for Rory. She, like, always is there to, like, get things done when Rory can't, and you can kind of see that, too, like, when Logan's in the hospital towards the end and Rory doesn't know what to do.
Oh my God.
And Paris is like, all right, like, what's going on? What's his chart? Like, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, okay. She's like, who's the attending? And she just, like, calls and gets all the information.
She
it's amazing.
Just deals with it.
She just gets
Paris
it done.
Paris rules the world.
She does. Like, you can just kind of, like, I am so excited. I think out of, like, all of the, like, you know, there's obviously, like, the basic people you're excited to see in the revival. But I'm just so excited to see, like, where she is now, because, like, if she's just like an ounce of what she was when she was, you know, at Yale, she's gonna be like ruling the world in some way, and she's awesome.
I totally agree. Agreed. Paris 2020. Okay, Selena, Pam, anything you guys didn't like about this season?
Well, I mean, again, we've kind of already said it a little bit. Rory, I didn't like Rory for most of the season. And again, I want to make sure that I clarify, it's not the writing, it's the person that I take issue with. And I really appreciate how real she feels, but it just isn't, I feel like she just, there's a lot of moments when I get really mad at Rory. And I think, you know, sort of again, going a little bit back to the Jess thing, I will say I was extremely disappointed by the way that Rory handled the thing with Jess, especially when she goes to see him the second time, because, I mean, it's not really fair to be, I mean, I guess because Jess, when he was on the show back in season 3 or whatever, like, he was pretty horrible towards her at the end. And, you know, we've talked about that too, and how it's not that she owes him anything at all, but I think she knows that Jess is in love with her. She knows that he's basically been in love with her for 3 years now. And like last time when he came to see her and she chose Dean, basically that was heartbreaking. And now here he is again, he's gotten his life together, he's still, you know, he's still like so in love with her, and she knows that. And she goes to him and she kisses him or like instigates something with him. And she almost does more before she pulls back. And then not only does she let him down, she tells him, you know, I'm in love with Logan. Like, she basically confesses to him that she's in love with another guy. And she basically just went to him, to Jess, for to get even with Logan. And I just think that that whole thing, I mean, it's, oh, it just, it annoys me. And it annoys me that that Rory would stoop to that level. And that whole thing just made me really sad. And you know,
yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
And the fact that that's how it ends just makes it even more sure. sad.
I don't dislike Lorelai throughout the course of the whole season, but I do really dislike her in that final episode. It's just so disheartening that she goes to Christopher. It's mostly because Luke doesn't deserve that. You know, at the end of the day, like, they might have exchanged words, but he doesn't deserve that. And it's just not fair for him. And so that just really breaks my heart on behalf of him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's do, you know, I want to save predictions till the end. Let's do, let's do feedback first. So we got a bunch of emails from you guys. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Twitter at Hyperbole Hype. We are also at Hyperbole Hype on Instagram. Sometimes things happen there. It's very exciting. You can email us, hype@hyperbole.com. And, of course, you can always leave a comment on the post of this podcast on hyperbole.com. And, hey, if you're like Pam and I and you've seen the whole show before, make sure to check out our trailer special for the Netflix trailer that came out. Okay, so, Selena, do you want to take the first email?
Yes. So Anthony Raska emailed in and said, I don't know if any of the Gilmore Girls newcomers have noticed this, but Kirk... Sean Gunn had multiple minor roles in Guardians of the Galaxy, which was directed by his brother James Gunn. It's good to know that even after the main Gilmore Girls series ended, Kirk has been able to keep up with his array of random odd jobs, which have evidently propelled him to the stars.
Nice.
That's very funny. Thanks. Yes, yeah, of course, James Gunn is awesome, and I follow him on all the social media outlets, and it's nice that he makes sure that Sean Gunn is included.
I did notice. To see what Kirk's jobs are in the revival.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Kirk in this, like, he's always killing it.
Kirk is always
in this
great.
Season, he was singing with the little kids and stuff. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, it's so funny.
All right. We had a comment from Matt who said, I have to strongly disagree with the assessment of Dean in season 4. Oh, okay. This is a little while back. But anyway, I have watched the whole series several times since it's aired, and I have never read Dean's behavior as being manipulative. If anyone was being manipulative, it was Rory. She was the one who dumped all of her Yale drama on him. She was the one who left the drunk voicemail for Dean when she was on spring break. She called Dean when she got left on that bad date after her finals. Oh, Matt, you found a lot of things. Of all the many, many people in her life she called Dean. And she did it knowing that Dean and Lindsay were fighting. And she knew he probably wouldn't be out with her because at the end of the night, she explicitly asked him why he could be out with her. And then when Jess showed up, she just dismissed him. And when Dean wasn't talking to her, she's the one who went chasing after him because, God forbid, someone isn't happy with Rory. She was obsessed with them being okay with each other. I've never really blamed either one of them for what happened, but I do feel if anyone was being manipulative, it was definitely Rory. Well, I mean, it's probably...
I mean, I guess we kind of set that too. I mean, I think that it's probably
valid
Rory definitely
seeing
had...
what you said about Rory doing with Jess this season too.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think I just come down, I blame both of them.
Like, right. Yeah.
I think what happened was shitty, and the fact that he cheated on his wife is something that deserves blame. But
yeah.
That doesn't mean that Rory was like the innocent little lamb in this situation. Absolutely not. And I don't think, I mean, I don't know, maybe that came off that way, but that certainly isn't how I feel.
No. Okay, and Pam, do you want to read this very long email?
Sure. Welcome, Pam. This is a comment still, right?
Hey, Pam. Oh, yeah, this
okay,
is a comment.
This is from Betty, who says, I just finished my first ever watch of Gilmore Girls the other day, and now I'm just listening through these episodes as a way to not move on with my life. Good life choices, Betty. She continues, Season 5 was probably my least favorite season because I couldn't stand the Rory dropped out of Yale and turned into a mini Emily plotline. Ugh.
Oh, so it's season 6,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
Must
season
be.
6, because that's the one we're on right now. although the season had way too little Jess, and I'm not a huge fan of Logan. On the other hand, the season had so much of Luke and Lorelai, which was, of course, amazing. Oh my god, I ship those two so much. Luke and Lorelai are probably the best written couple in the show, in my opinion. Okay, Logan and Rory are actually pretty good too. But I feel like a lot of the couples on this show, especially Jess and Rory, have such potential before they get together, and then they just fall flat and turn into either making out or arguing. This applies to Dean and Rory too. I was so scared this was going to happen to Luke and Lorelai, but they turned out quite well. Also, I'm totally with you, Selena, on Paris this season. I absolutely loved her at Chilton, and I really like her with Doyle, but she's turned into such a weird character. And I was also super excited by the Pippi Longstocking thing, since I'm Swedish. Woo-hoo. That was amazing, but it was so weird to see it dubbed. Sorry about the long, all-over-the-place comment. I really love these episodes. I've just been binge-watching all of Gilmore Girls all by myself without any friends to fangirl with, so now I really love listening to your discussions. Well, thanks, Betty. Aww. We'll be your Gilmore Girl friends.
Yes.
Yes. A literal
That's
dream.
That's awesome. Yeah,
and,
for sure.
Selena, you want to grab that last comment?
Yes. So Maeve N says, season 6 spoilers below. I guess that's fine. I'm rewatching Gilmore Girls for the second time with you guys. I was wondering if you guys could talk a bit about the show's approach to mental health. Season 6, episode 11, when Rory goes to talk to the therapist at Yale. Rory and Lorelai refer to people who go to therapy as insane or crazy. I don't think you would see that on TV today. It just sort of surprised me how people's approach to mental health has changed in the past 10 years or so. Thanks, and I love the podcast. I mean, I think there's a lot of ways in which you can see that Gilmore Girls is a dated show, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny the way that they... I mean, you know, also like, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And so, but again, Lorelai and Rory, they also talk about people who work out as being crazy. So you never can quite trust their assessment. Yeah. But
they also... I mean, I was going to say, I feel like... The show is obviously dated in that, like, basically everyone is white, and they also make some jokes at times that, like, are vaguely homophobic.
Right, they're like there's a lot of, like, outright homophobic.
Oh
jokes
yeah, that
in
yeah
show.
That too. But I mean, I feel like there's a lot of that throughout the show too. So I think it's a really interesting point, because I wonder how, like, if they're going to sort of address these things and, like, update the show for the revival.
And I think that's just another, and it's so funny, like, we're unrewatchable, obviously, we're going back to Buffy, and sometimes we have those discussions where people are like, you know, this is awful, they're doing this and this, and I'm like, yeah, but it was 1998, like, you know, yeah. Like, I feel like you have to, when you're looking back, and it's the same for Gilmore Girls, and I think that's why we don't really bring it up in these discussions, is because, I mean, to some extent, you just have to say, yeah, but it was 2003, and, like, not that that makes it okay, but that's what, you know...
Well, yeah,
it's a product of its time.
And it's interesting in a way, because Gilmore Girls, like, half does address these issues at times. You know, like, Jess obviously has some kind of depression when he's on the show. Like, Rory obviously has some level of anxiety that we see around, like, school and things like that. And, you know, yeah, I mean, she probably should be going to a therapist, considering the way that she responded to, like, one minor setback. So in a way, it's kind of like they skirt around it and deal with it. They almost deal with it without realizing that they are, because, you know, they have to, like, work through things and they have to, like, change things and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I agree, I guess. You probably, well, I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I mean, I think you would hope not to see people refer to as, like, oh, you're so crazy if you, like, have to go to therapy on TV now. But then again, I guess I wouldn't be surprised, like, watching a show in 2016 and hearing that similar language, which is not great. But yeah, it's definitely worth thinking about. And like I said, I'll be very interested to see sort of how a lot of these issues are addressed in the revival, because, you know, then it won't be the early 2000s.
Right,
so
right, like, I'm yeah. You know, and it's so funny, like, when you look at people like, obviously, Michelle, and you're thinking, well, why isn't he an LGBT character? I'm very confused by that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it seems like
said,
he would be.
I think I think I have heard that there is going to be at least one, like, gay couple in Stars Hollow. I feel like
I hope it's Taylor and someone.
Oh my god.
I would. Who do you ship Taylor with?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
I, mm,
Kirk?
Andrew?
Who?
No. No, well, Kirk and Lulu. Andrew?
Well, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, are the two... Am I wrong? Are the two priests not a couple?
Oh, that would be
interesting.
Wasn't
there something about that?
Wait, oh, you mean the rabbi and the priest?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, were they not a couple? I feel like maybe I'm totally... I feel like there was at one point there was a scene at a cafe, and then they were like, oh, well, we're married or something.
Oh, I have no memory of that, but someone will tell us.
Yeah, someone will tell us.
Well, okay, I don't know.
Maybe it was wishful thinking.
Tweet at us and let us know if Selena's fanfic is true or in her mind.
Right. What a weird thing to make up in my head.
Just like some of these people have tweeted at us. So good. Pam, you want to grab the first?
Sure. Laura says, I loved the Lane wedding episode so much. It is in my top five favorites.
Yay!
Yay!
Okay, we have a bunch of tweets from our friend, the Lady Ash, who I think, she's spoiler-free, right? She's just watching along, so this is exciting. So. The Lady Ash says, I love season 6. It was really easy to binge. Having the girls separated was weird, but nice. Got to see them as individuals. I like the parallel moments of the two of them behaving the same / saying the same things. Like, does this dress go with a baby? Oh, we didn't even talk about that episode. Oh. How did anyone expect Lorelai to pick a date for the wedding with her and Rory being estranged? Come on, Suki. Richard and Emily responding to Rory having sex was gold. A minister visit? Really?
I know.
This season was fun. I went through it so quick. Rory showed a lot of her mother in this season, more than others, in my opinion. I think she showed a lot and also showed the differences more significantly. I think everything became more pronounced, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, we didn't even, again, I feel like we always forget about Suki. We didn't even talk about Suki.
Well, this is not very, I'm sorry, she's not very interesting.
Well, there's not that much happening.
Which is
what?
Sweet.
I liked her. Have you guys forgotten the episode where Jackson finds a bunch of weed in the backyard?
Oh, yes.
And they're like, the code word is pickles. And they're like, we didn't plant the pickles. It's the best.
Oh my God. And also, I like Suki's kind of ploy to like, match make Lorelai and Rory back together by being like, well, if they both have to be godmothers, like if they both have to be back here, then I will solve this problem. And you're like, oh, Suki. Anyway, okay, and Selena, you going to get the last one?
Yeah, so Anne Mays, or Anne Mays, I guess. She's Danish, like me. She said, I just hope you won't hate too much on April because I think the whole thing should be blamed on Luke. I think the season as a whole gets a lot of undeserved hate, but it is a very important and necessary season that dealt with conflicts that were always meant to occur eventually. Can also be parallels to Buffy season 6. And while it's not my favorite season, that Friday night dinner fight in 6:13 is probably the best moment of the entire show.
Woo woo!
So there you go.
Represent. Okay, that's it for feedback. Before we finish, of course, it's time for predictions.
Ah!
Exciting. You're right. Do you need a moment?
No, I mean, well, it's not that exciting because I will say at this point, guys, like, as I said before, I feel like almost everything has been spoiled for me. I don't even know what I can predict that I don't already know.
Really?
Yeah.
Everything.
Well, let's see. Not everything. I know, unless it's not true.
You wouldn't know if it was or not.
Do you know anything about Rory's plans after Yale? Can you predict maybe what we'll see?
Oh, actually, no. Okay. Well, okay, yeah, kind of.
Oh, okay, let's do that.
Because I know there's something with Obama.
Okay.
I know that. I think it's Obama. And for Lorelai and Christopher, I know what happens, and for Jess, obviously Wikipedia just spoiled me on the lack of
okay,
Jess.
All right, I have a different question then. I have a different question.
Okay.
Because this is obviously the last season that Amy Sherman-Palladino and Daniel Sherman-Palladino were the showrunners for. So I guess what I would like to know is where do you think this was going, like based on season 6? And I mean this for Pam as well, and Pam and I have discussed this a little. With certain respects, like off the show, so as not to spoil Selena when we just have like manic text conversations with each other to be spoiler free. But yeah, like if you were watching the season, you said at the start, you felt like, oh, these are things that kind of had to happen and then because they were going to be resolved. How do you think they were going to be resolved? Like, where was it going? based on this season. I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah, again, because you know, it's not even the showrunners doing the last one, so it does kind of throw everything off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say. I will say, I feel like, and this may be totally projecting, I feel like Jess and Rory was going to be in game. Like, I feel like the show was setting that up. Like, it's not, I don't have a problem with Logan. As I said, he's going away. Who knows where that's going to go? I just feel like the way he came back and everything, like, there was more coming with Jess and Rory. Again, it might just be me projecting because I think it's the relationship that makes the most sense for her. I think that it's tough with Lorelai and Luke because, I mean, she did cheat on him, you know? I mean, that's kind of a big thing that you don't necessarily come back from, at least not in a season. But I think that the two of them would have ended up getting married. I obviously don't know if they do, because I haven't been spoiled on that. I assume that they don't, because something else might happen. But I think that I would have liked to see, and I feel like the show must have been building to some kind of conclusion with Emily and Lorelai. Them coming to some kind of understanding. I think that Paris was going to go off to become the editor of some huge thing. Like, I think she need, or like a setter. I don't even know. I know she's on a medical career, but I just think that her as a doctor would be ridiculous unless she like rises to the top straight away.
She could be like Christina Yang and just be like, I'm the best. So. Get away from me. Compliment my brain.
She's like, totally Christina Yang. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. So yeah.
Getting to the hospital early and stealing like, people's charts and like figuring out the best patients. Right. That's exactly what she does.
Yeah. And being like, I don't need bedside manner because I will save your life. And like, what else do you want from
so
me?
So you better thank me because it's happening. You're not going to die today. You're welcome.
Yeah. Oh my God. So true. Okay. Pam, I mean, obviously, like, without spoiling anything that does happen in season 7, like, are there things that you, like, just in watching season 6 that you think, like, oh, this is where this is going? Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely always felt like, and I do feel like watching season 6, that Jess is being set up as endgame.
Yeah. I think that that is the part that we've had, like, the longest, like, drawn out conversations about
unsurprisingly to anyone.
Anytime Jess comes up, we just harken back to that moment and we feel awful that it's like that was what we wanted and that's what it sounded like it was going to be. I almost kind of feel like I think that that's the biggest point, and I think that it's important to
bring that up. I get your hesitation.
No, I think it's important to bring that up because if it had happened that way, like, that's a huge shift for Rory's life, because all of a sudden she's not necessarily as ingrained in this elite culture as she was before. So, like, would she move to Pennsylvania? That's where Jess is now, right? Pennsylvania? Would they both relocate to New York? Like, that all, like, the idea of them together sets all of these different possibilities in motion. And I think that those are the things that you would have to consider. Not necessarily that she's not with Logan anymore, but just like, what does it mean that she's with Jess? And I think it means like it just opens up a whole different host of possibilities.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting. Okay. Well, we might leave it there because I feel like anything Pam and I say might accidentally spoil Selena in case there's something she doesn't know and like what does or does not happen in season 7.
I'm sure there's a lot of stuff, but I don't know. It's just, I feel like the major beats have kind of been spoiled for me at this point. And obviously,
honestly,
I'm glad April was finally there.
I'm amazed that you've done this well. Like,
I know.
For, you know, getting this far. Like, you really, when we started this, you were like, well, obviously, like, her and Luke are going to get together in, like, the last season. And we were like, oh, interesting. Okay.
And break out after 2 episodes. And
what I like to call my poker voice of, like, oh, interesting. I could not possibly comment. we are gonna wrap up now.
Just gonna say one last thing. I'm sorry. I just remembered, but, about April, because I was actually very, maybe that's why I'm very lenient on her too, because I was spoiled by that. But April, I knew that Luke had a daughter that was spoiled to me by Michael Osiello, full people, and I was very like, I was very worried that the season was going to reveal that he'd had this secret double life this whole time, or that he had a daughter, but he didn't like that he had left her and didn't talk about her. Like, I was expecting some dark secret to come out.
That would have been really interesting. So I,
Interesting when you know a spoiler and then you like build this story around the spoiler.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously I had no idea, but I was so worried that something like that was going to come in and ruin my feelings about Luke, because even though like he acted like a jerk in the season, like I still like the character. Like, he has, it doesn't ruin the character for me necessarily. I just think he handled the situation really badly, but I was very relieved by the fact that he had no idea, and that the minute that he knew he had a daughter, he was like so intent. Like, she became the most important person in his life, like this, at the expense of Lorelai, which was awful. But in a way, it is still a very sympathetic, very Luke-like trait to act that way.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that was just
that makes sense.
Bring that up.
Okay, cool. Well, if everyone is good with that, we will leave season six there. As always, we had plenty to say, and I'm sure we'll have a lot to say about season seven. And then the revival is this month. Oh my God, guys, it's in 20 days. I might have an aneurysm.
if you 20 would days to watch season seven and record this thing. Oh my God.
Well, like, I'm that's on you, babe.
I
like,
know.
That's why I'm freaking
out. Get to it.
Yep. You gotta watch it. We never feel, listeners, there will be a... I feel like Andrew and Buffy. Ah, loyal reader. never fear. There will be a season seven episode. I'm going to say it's probably going to be, like, maybe the week of the revival, just in terms of, like, timing of where when we'll be able to record it. But if you want to send us feedback for that, you can do it by all those contacts. What am I trying to say? Places? I've lost words. Twitter at HyperboleHype. You can email us hype@hyperbole.com or leave a comment on hyperbole.com. And if you've been enjoying these specials, hey, why not leave us a rating and review on iTunes? That would be super nice. And if you haven't been enjoying them, maybe don't leave us a rating and review on iTunes. That would also be nice. But yeah, we hope you guys have been having fun. We've been having a lot of fun recording these. And although, you know, there's been a lot of rush, a bit of a rush at the end, but they're going to get done. We promised they'd get done. And yeah, we will be back with season seven. Let us know what you thought about that. Let us know. Oh, this is what you have to let us know. For people who have already seen the whole thing or are watching season seven, we want to know your predictions for the revival. And we will be asking for these on Twitter, but we're going to talk about them in the season seven episode. We're all going to make predictions because Pam and I will be able to do that for once, so that's exciting. And I just decided that that would be a fun thing to do. So we're going to do predictions, and we want to hear what you guys think, and then we'll make some kind of scorecard in our brains of who is the most right, and etc. And yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening.
Yay! Goodbye. We did it!
We did it!
Onward to season 7. Thank you for listening. Bye, guys.
On to 7. Unlike Amy Sherman Palladino.
That's right. We're in it for the long haul. Take that.
Yeah. Some of us don't quit. Oh, God.
No,
I mean, I love you.
Please
come on our show.
Come on our show.
I love you. I love you.
Come here for Gilmore Girl.
I know it was contract negotiation.